Good to see this number out this evening. We're delighted to have some visiting with us from other congregations and maybe some from the community, and we're delighted you're here. I have no intention tonight of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. Should I teach something wrong, I stand to be corrected. But if you find that the truth has been taught, our prayers you'll apply. If you've never been baptized upon your faith in Christ, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and you can be immersed into Him for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, as we stand and sing, if you'll make your way to the front, we'd be glad to assist you with any spiritual need you may have. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts and the 10th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 10th chapter, I want to pick up our reading at verse 9, and we'll read down through verse 16. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. I don't know if you've ever stopped and thought about the statement in the book of Acts and the 10th chapter when the Apostle Peter in verse 14, when responding to a command of the Lord, says, "Not so, Lord." I've ever wondered if we stopped and thought of the absurdity of that kind of answer. Because the Lord had given a command to Peter. He had told Peter what to do. And here the Lord is over Peter, and yet here is Peter who is a servant of the Lord, and the servant is going to try to dictate to the Lord what he will or will not do. But a servant does not have the authority to dictate to his master. And to say "not so" and then use the word "Lord" is really absurd. He's saying, "Yeah, you're my Lord, but I'm not going to do what you told me to do." Now we must either, when you take that thought, we must either cross out the words "not so" and say he's Lord, and if he's Lord, we're going to do what he says, or we cross out Lord and we say "not so." But you can't say both. You can't say he's my Lord and then say I'm going to do what I want to do. And you know, my friend, that's been a problem through the years. Here was Peter, who was a Jew, and he had an aversion to the Gentiles and their diet, and he considered it common and unclean. And what does the Lord say to him? He says, "What the Lord has cleansed, don't call that unclean." He said, "You must not call that unclean." He gave him a direct command. He said, "You must not take what God has said and say, 'Not so.'" So what I want to do for a few moments of our time is to think about how many times you can find where someone will say "not so" and then still say "Lord," and yet, my friend, that is an impossibility. Either he's Lord and you do what he says, or you say "not so" and cross out "Lord." Now then, take your Bible for just a moment and turn with me to the book of Mark in the 16th chapter. And when you come to the book of Mark in the 16th chapter, I'm sure that most Bible students know exactly what I'm going to say. They can quote verse 16 where Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Now, how many people argue with the Lord and say "not so" when it comes to the command Jesus gave in order to be saved? When Jesus commanded an individual to be baptized, if one is not willing to be baptized, then by necessity they cross out the name "Lord." Because what they're saying is, "Not so. I don't have to do what Jesus told me to do in order to be saved." And there are a lot of people tonight, even in the religious world, who've done all kinds of mental gymnastics to say you don't have to obey what God said. You don't have to follow the authority of Jesus. You just say, not so. And yet, my friend, I can put my finger on the passage and show you where he said to be baptized. Even Peter in Acts 2:38, when Peter had told the people, you've crucified the Christ. You with lawless hands have put him to death. And they said, what shall we do? Peter said the same thing that Jesus had said in Mark 16. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. So God has given us the choice whether to obey or not. God doesn't force us to obey. But one must either say, not so, and deny what God has said, or say, Lord, and do exactly what God has said. But you know, my friend, if you choose not to do what God said, He's warned us there's consequences to that choice. One must choose to either be obedient to God and have the hope of heaven. And you choose which one you're going to cross at. You're either going to say, not so, I'll never be baptized. Or you'll say, Lord, you speak and I'll obey. Take your Bible kindly, if you will, and look in the Colossians letter and the second chapter. And when you come to Colossians chapter 2, when the Apostle Paul is writing, Paul writing to the church at Colossae tells them in verse 12 a very powerful statement. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, he says, you've been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You ever thought of that statement? He said, through faith, that you've been raised with him in the working of God. Who is it that takes away sin when you're baptized? God does. I don't come up out of the water and beat my chest and say, look at what I've done. God's the one who takes away sin. But look at that next statement. He said, just as he'd raised his son from the dead. You ever thought about what it would have been like to have been there in John 11 when Lazarus was raised from the dead? To have seen that man been raised by the power of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. But I want to tell you what you see. Every time you see someone baptized into Christ, you see something just as wonderful or great, if not more, because you see someone put to death the old man and be raised up to walk in newness of life and have a new life in Christ. That is, if you say, Lord. But then I want you to think of something else. I want you to think about in regard to scriptural worship. When it comes to worshiping according to the pattern the New Testament has given us, we're either going to say, now Lord, we don't think that's the way we do it, or we just say, Lord, you're right. Now I'll tell you, my friend, I recognize that we live in a day and time where people do not respect any kind of authority. And they don't respect God's authority. But I want us to stop and to think about Jesus has all authority, Matthew 28:18, in heaven and earth. He has the right to tell me how to worship. You know why? It's His church. Tonight, you're not at my church, you're not at Mike's church, you're not at Brother Beck's church, you're at the Lord's church. He died for it, He paid for it with His own blood. We've come together as the people of God. Who is the church? You and I who've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, been baptized for the remission of sins, been added to the family of God. We make up the body, the church. Now, what's the church going to do? Worship according to the pattern. And yet, how many people want to add or take away and they deny the lordship of Christ and say, not so, we know better than you. Take your Bible, if you will, kindly, and look in the Ephesian letter and the fifth chapter. And when you come to Ephesians chapter 5, you'll find that the Apostle Paul is writing, and in verse 19, when he is speaking to the church at Ephesus, he said, you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can see one thing when I read verse 19. I'm to sing, and I'm to sing from the heart. God wants the heart of man. Always has wanted the heart of man. But someone comes along and say, but now, preacher, You know what would make the hair on the back of our head stand up, the back of our neck stand up, is if we could put some instrumental music in here. And we could just have the music playing, and we just have somebody that could play the piano and someone play the guitar. That would just be so much better. I want to ask you something. Is that according to your wisdom or God's wisdom? Because all I see is sin. Now, I've had some people say to me, preacher, they'll say the Bible, there's nowhere in the New Testament that says we can have. Well, my friend, I'm not obligated to show you where it says not to have. You're obligated to show me where it says to have it. If you're going to have it, you're going to have authority for it, because it's not your church, it's His church. So either I say, Lord, I'm going to obey You and worship You according to Your word, according to the way You want to be worshipped, or I say, You're not Lord, I'm going to do it my way. I want the instrument, I don't care what you say, it's better that way. And there's people got that attitude tonight. Now I want to ask you something in kindness and love. Can you show me where it says to have it? If we're told to have it, we better have it. But if not, we don't go against the authority of the Lord. But you know that goes even further. I thought about how many times I've seen people who want to not have acceptable worship and do what God has called acceptable. And they question God or add to God or take away from what God has instructed. And you know what we're really doing? We're trying to take away God's authority and give it to ourselves. We defy God. We stick our fist up in God's face and say, we think we know better than You. We can draw the crowd. The way You have it, Lord's not going to draw a crowd, but we could draw a crowd if we had good music. Or we could draw a crowd if we had entertainment. We could draw a crowd if we had a gymnasium. My friend, I want to ask you one thing. Do you think you can win a spiritual battle with carnal means? I've been places and I've heard them say, well, we bring the food and that brings them in. One place one time I talked to said that when they have food, they'll have about 100 people. When they don't, they have about 20. And I said, do you see the problem there? They're not coming for spiritual food. They're not coming for what God has to offer. They're not coming to be fed on God's word. They're coming to have their bellies filled. And what we're saying is, Lord, Your word doesn't powerful enough. I want to tell you something, my friend. If the gospel doesn't convert them, a hamburger and hot dog ain't going to do it either. Because the power's in the gospel. And the day you and I do not see the power's in the gospel, then we forget to see who's Lord. What was it Paul said in Romans 1:16? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why are you not ashamed, Paul? He said, it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also the Greek. Now tonight, how many places have said, Lord, we tried it that way. We don't think that way is going to work. We need this. And God says, you don't have my authority for that. I want to say with all kindness and candor tonight, the main attraction and focus of every church of Christ should be Christ. And the day that it's not Christ, we better shut those doors and no longer call the church of my Lord. What was it in Malachi's day? In Malachi's day, you remember they were robbing God of His what was rightfully His. They were sacrificing the lame and the sick. And He said, I would rather you not kindle a fire on my altar and offer a sacrifice in vain. He said, because your heart's not right. And because your heart's not right, you're worshiping wrong. And because your worship is wrong, I won't accept it. How many of you remember with March of Dimes? Anyone in here old enough remember March of Dimes? Why was the March of Dimes invented? Infantile paralysis, polio. And the kids would march up and down with their things to collect dimes. Well, let me ask you a question. When they cured or had a vaccine for polio, did the March of Dimes cease to exist? No, it just changed its purpose. But the church of my Lord can't do that. The day we change our purpose, we've changed what God has authorized. And we've told Him, we're not going to do it your way. Not so, Lord. And you have to take off Lord if you say not so. But that also goes in regard to morality. God has specified how we're to live to please Him. And when we ignore what God says, we're saying not so. We're marking out the name Lord and putting our name Lord there. And what we're saying is, we know best. How many times have we been bowed to culture because culture says, if you don't agree with us, that makes you some kind of a bigot or some kind of fearful individual, and you just don't understand us. And I want to tell you something, my friend. If God says it's a sin, I don't care what culture says. I don't care what Washington says. Take your Bible and look at 1 Corinthians 6 for just a moment. And when you come to 1 Corinthians 6, notice in verse 9 that the apostle Paul said, "Do you not know?" And then he says that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Underscore that. He said, beware. Do not fall for the lies of culture. Do not fall for the lies of man. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now he said, such were some of you, but you've changed. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know what they said? Lord, we're not going to quibble, we're going to obey. They didn't say not so. You know, sometimes I'm fearful in our day and time. Sometimes we don't say Lord enough because we're afraid of what people are going to say. I don't know about you, I like to be liked. I like for people to be friendly. But I've learned one thing. You're not going to please everybody by saying not so to them. But I'd rather say not so to man than to try to say it to my Lord. That brings up another thought in our study. I want you to think about, not only is that true about morality, and not only is that a problem with morality, but how many people say not so in regard to love? Take your Bible and look in 1 John for just a moment. In 1 John chapter 2. And when you come to John's epistle, notice what John had to say. In 1 John chapter 2, look at what he says in verse 9. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, when you love, that shows light. And light, you can see where you're going and that keeps you from stumbling. But if you have hatred in your heart towards your brother, he said, you're walking in darkness and don't know where you're going. You're going away from God, not towards God. And we are instructed throughout Scripture to love one another. Love God first, and then love our neighbor. We're to love our brethren. And so often we say, not so. Now we'll say we love ourselves first, or we love everything else first. But you know what he tells us? Love one another. It's interesting. What is one of the birthmarks of a Christian? Love. When you read through John, how many times has he said, if you're born of God? He says that about 5 or 6 times. And one of the birthmarks of a Christian is that we love one another. People say something about that. And Jesus even said, they will know you're my disciples because you love one another. But sometimes we say, I don't have to love them. I want to tell you something, my friend. You have to love. Love's a choice. Sometimes we get that so confused. We think love is this fuzzy feeling we have. No. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. That means it's a choice of the matter. It's in our will. You've got someone mistreat me and badmouth me and lie about me. It's hard for me to love them and have that fuzzy feeling, but I can say I'm going to do what's best for their soul. And I'm going to do what's best for the kingdom. But how many people say, oh, not so. They've done me wrong, and I'm not going to show them anything. I'm going to pout. I'm soul up. And I want to tell you something what I've learned a long time ago. Souling up and pouting don't really accomplish much of nothing. I want to take that. Make 3 or 4 thoughts, the lesson's yours. Tonight, which one are you going to strike out? Are you going to say, not so? Or are you going to say, Lord? Do we believe Jesus and follow His will, or do we question His authority? And so many religious groups say they know better than God, they add to His word, they don't heed the divine revelation, they're saying not so. But they can't call Him Lord if you say not so. I want to know, which one do you say? And you can't just say Lord on my terms. He said you do the will of God. He said not everyone who says Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who what? Does the will of my Father. That's when I say Lord. It's not just a matter of saying He's my Lord. It's a matter of doing His will. Matthew 7:21. But secondly, either Jesus is Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. And we must submit to the King in all things, or we're guilty of picking and choosing what commands we want to obey and what we want to ignore. And a servant does not have that choice. You submit to the King. Now I'll tell you something else. Hell will be made up of people who've said, not so, Lord. Not so. Those who try to dictate to the Lord what they will not do or will do will be lost. Those who submit to the King and say, Lord, you speak and I'll obey, they're the ones who will be made up of heaven. Take your Bible kindly and turn to one last passage as we close. The Philippian letter and the second chapter. Oh, what a powerful statement the Apostle Paul has when he writes to the church at Philippi. And Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, brings to their mind something important. Notice in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But look at what he does in verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Here's the Son of God who humbles himself to the Father's will, even to the point of dying on the cross. So what does God do in verse 9? God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, that's by the authority of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord! To the glory of God the Father. You may say, preacher, I'll tell you what, I'll never say Lord. I want to tell you something, you'll say Lord. You may not do it in this lifetime. You may say, not so, your whole life here, but there's going to come a day when you stand before Christ. He said, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess and say, He is Lord. The question is, when will you do it? Now's the time to mark out, not so. Now's the time to say, Lord, you speak, I'll obey. My prayer is that we confess Him now and live for Him now and say, Lord, you're the master. I'm the servant. I'll follow you wherever you lead. Tonight, if you need to be baptized or restored, we pray you'll say, Lord, you speak, and obey the Lord. As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.